Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, off of a very busy weekend.
Yep, it's football season, so goodbye to everyone who is my friend and I see in social times. I'll see you in February.
I was going to say, this is it. It's opening day, first game is not the start. Right now is it. They're practicing, they're meeting with the media, they're doing all those things. So does that mean you don't have time to watch the Olympics, T. Frank?
No, that is the one thing I'm making time for. The wife and I watch the Olympics. It's the thing we do every 4 years that I never, ever did before I met her, but she is a former swimmer and long-distance runner and is super into all of the Olympic sports, so we end up watching it. The thing that I think is funny is Media Day. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, it's Media Day, blah, blah, blah. You go and you have conversations. Like, there's a lot of things, if you're crazy, that you can make into your game day. So like Media Day for me, with all the things I have to do and make sure we get on camera for the Blue White Illustrated YouTube channel, it's like my game day. So I had war paint on, I had a pregame chant. It's like, it's somewhere between a game day and leg day at the gym, where just like there is no middle ground. You have to be super intense and ready to go the whole time. So now I'm just in that mood. Like, we're just I was going to say something I probably can't say on radio, but yeah, we're 100% go right now.
You got your game face on. All right. We're going to get to some things from the weekend, but first I just wanted to do a quick catch up on recruiting. And I recall T. Frank, it was on this very show just a couple weeks ago, you were in total and complete panic mode over the recruiting. Wait, was that you or was that me? I can't recall.
I mean, it could have been either of us. We sound the exact same. We look the exact same. Sometimes it's hard to tell.
Full disclosure, it was Jim who was in panic mode, and T. Frank talked me off the ledge. And my concern, quite candidly, then was, is recruiting goes in cycles. It goes up and down. My concern was, though, was NIL putting a permanent crimp in Penn State's recruiting?
Right.
Since then, now, not so much in 25, but they've been knocking it out of the park for 26. They got a 27 recruit.
Yeah.
And just add to it, they just recently brought in another wide receiver for the class of 25, the current class. Let's start with him. That's Kobe Howard. I started calling these guys four-star/three-star, okay?
Yep.
Differentiate between a consensus four-star and a not consensus four-star. Could you give us a quick overview of what Penn State's getting with Kobe Howard?
So in I've been saying this in kind of comparative terms. This summer, I broke down all the players who were maybe high ceiling players at the receiver position and then guys who are high floor in terms of their long-term projections, what they're good at now, what they present as far as a recruit athlete, and Kobe Howard is in the high floor category. So he is 5'11", 190. He's got good testing numbers. That was part of the conversation with Penn State, is that they wanted to see him in camp. So he comes up to the Lash Bash, and Penn State had big old two-day camp at the Lash Bash with a bunch of different players coming through for one final time in the summer. And apparently he tested well enough to commit for them to accept that commitment. So in a little bit, he reminds me of Taz Williams, where he is a good athlete, some limitations from a frame perspective, but is really good as a receiver. I think Taz Williams was a little more poppy, a little more maybe quick. And, you know, neither of these guys have elite speed is really what we're talking about. They don't have elite size and they don't have elite speed, but they are fast enough and they are good enough at the receiver position that Penn State wanted them in the class. And Kobe Howard does that prove it thing. And proves it, and is now a member in the class of 2025. So he's a good player, but going back to your conversation about does NIL put a massive dent into Penn State recruiting high upside players, Kobe Howard doesn't solve that part of the conversation for the class of 2025. He is a good football player, and this is always the problem, is like you give an assessment of a football player that isn't overly glowing, and then you're a hater. And then if you don't give any sort of context or nuance, you just say he's a good football player, then you're a shill. So I try to tell you, every time I say something negative, I just want to say he's a good football player. This is somebody who can come in and contribute at Penn State. You feel like he's got the positional skills, some run-after-catch skills, and then just some of those intrinsic, he knows how to play the position. So a lot of the soft skills are there with him. And he's going to a school in Chaminade, Madonna, that he's going to face really good competition this year. He's going to get really good coaching, maybe some of the developmental stuff where maybe I don't know his previous schools. He's transferred three times. So this is a player who I think Penn State sees as more to come with him as a receiver.
T. Frank, I'm glad that you addressed, though, that you get a response. Are you a hater if you don't go all out? First of all, I'm reminded of what our old colleague Ross Tucker used to say. The 25th man on this 25 recruiting class is a really good player because yes. He was good enough to get an offer from a big-time school like Penn State.
Yeah.
So start with that premise, and we are well aware of that. It's just the difference between, you know, as James Franklin said, the good or great programs in the elite is bringing in some of those really high-end guys. It's bringing in, you know, a Nick Singleton, a Drew Aller, an Abdul Carter. Those are the guys that you have to get, and not sure that Penn State's been getting them with the class of 25. I mentioned that they've been kind of killing it, though, for the class of 26. Just, you know, they already have more consensus four stars in the class of 26 than they do the class of 25. To me, you know, that tells you how the recruiting has improved. Let's give a couple of the names that came in just in the last week or so, or we didn't hit last week. One is Daniel Jennings. He is a four-star edge rusher from West Virginia, T. Frank.
Yeah, an interesting football player to take early in the class, given what they've been taking lately with Deion Barnes. And it's just interesting to watch these trends and watch these things change, where before Penn State was prioritizing guys like Denine Dennis Sutton, big frame football players, and now it doesn't necessarily seem to matter, because Daniel Jennings is not, like, he's listed at 6'2", he's under 6'2". He's 6'1", you know, one of those, like, somewhere between 6'1 and 6'2", and then depending on how generous you're feeling in the rounding category, it's which way you go with a guy like that. But he's 225, he's a very good football player with good length. What I see in him right now is this is a guy entering his junior season. He might have more time to grow, both, you know, physically, hopefully for him, get a little taller, but he's got the length to play defensive end, and he's got the straight line speed to be a linebacker. So why not take him? If you think he's good enough to play on your defense, you feel like you can find a home for him, then take his commitment. And I guess that's how Deion Barnes and James Franklin felt about Daniel Jennings. But he's another one of these guys who's a little bit undersized and very good athlete, very good bend, but not necessarily the prototype that you would expect of a future first-round pick. Like, if we talk about the recruiting and the long-term projections, Daniel Jennings is probably not going to ever be a five-star because he doesn't have those measurements that the NFL looks for, and honestly, a lot of colleges look for to build their room around. But Penn State has been winning in this area, finding these guys that are twitchy, explosive, stronger than their size, use great pad level and leverage, and win off the edge. Not to say that they don't have big-bodied guys, because you look at some of the guys they have on the roster now, and some of the guys that they're trying to recruit. They're not just looking for these guys, but they are developing a reputation with undersized pass rushers like Max Granville, who want to come here and be the next Chop Robinson. So they've got a type building in the recruiting world.
Also, remember in those recruiting rankings, T. Frank, it's hard to you're looking at thousands of players. At least, you know, the physical attributes are facts. They're not, he looks kind of good at this or that. You can height, weight, speed,
heart.
You could.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to do it. So here's the thing. These conversation points don't come out of nowhere, and it's not like it's just data nerds that have made these decisions. This is a football thing. For the last 40 years, all of football, NFL, college, everyone has been collecting these measurements, these like-for-like measurables, as you mentioned, and there is a picture that we have developed of this is what succeeds in football long-term. On average, you need to have X length arms, you need to have X growth potential, meaning you'll get to a certain size at a certain position, and you need to have X testing metrics. Now, there are outliers. There are guys, and you can what about all day, because there are millions of football players that have played football over the course of time. But if you look at the big picture, the information we've gathered over time, because people have paid attention, wrote it down, that's why we're having this conversation about Daniel Jennings, is because he is an outlier in that that size metric. Penn State is building a reputation of being an outlier program. And I find that interesting. Now, there is a conversation to be had about, is the model changing with modern defense and everyone having to run and everyone having to cover and zone blitzing? I think we can have a conversation about how you go about threading that needle. But in general, that's why I always bring up these particular topics.
And T. Frank, I often use an analogy to baseball, where a pitcher, if you're scouting pitchers and one kid could throw at 99 miles an hour and the other kid could only throw at 90, well, guess what? I'll take the 99 guy over the 90 mile an hour pitcher.
Yeah.
Even though, hey, Tom Glavine would have never been drafted these days because he didn't throw that hard. But yeah, he's the exception to the rule, not the rule. Let's real quickly hit LeVar Keys. He's another wide receiver for the class of 26, T. Frank.
A lot like Jahcir Rodgers. They're both roughly the same size. Rodgers is thicker and I think a better overall receiver from a positional traits standpoint. And that's when we get into this conversation of both of these guys are undersized for receiver, but the mold for receiver is more flexible. There's three different positions that you can play. There's a bunch of different ways you can win, but he wins a lot like Jahcir Rodgers, which is he is explosively fast. In fact, his peak metrics at camp this year, they were kind of a composite, were some of the best we've seen in a while. So he has an athletic profile. This might be the most explosive undersized receiving class that Penn State's put together in a while.
Very good, T. Frank. All right, we are going to hit Media Day when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. He's T. Frank. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State. T. Frank, I fibbed a little bit. I said we're going to get right to media day and practice that you observe, but I just want to wrap up the recruiting conversation. Not to get an in-depth report on him, but a young player by the name of Keeman Spell, he's a running back from McKeesport, Pennsylvania. He's a class of 27 player,
yeah,
which means he's going into his sophomore season. I'm not even sure with, what, 2-3 years to go before he would have to sign his final commitment to Penn State. I'm not even sure if you could count that as a commitment. He's, what, like 15 years old probably right now. But I guess more general question, is he so outstanding that you feel safe giving the scholarship? Obviously they did. But also giving scholarships so early, Isn't that a little bit dangerous, especially in this NIL age?
I don't see the downside. You don't want to do this all the time, but if you've got a guy from Pennsylvania who wants to commit to your program and you feel like he has a certain athleticism threshold or you can predict, you feel very confident you can predict his growth trajectory, then yeah, like there's certain guys you can take a risk on. It is interesting that this is something Jaywan Sider has done pretty consistently now, going back to Keandre Barker. That one didn't quite work out. A guy out of region who committed 2 years early. Messiah Mickens committed a year ago in a couple of weeks, you know, kind of in a similar situation before his sophomore season. And then you've got now this latest running back for the class of 2027 at a position that is so athletically dependent. The biggest, fastest, strongest guys in high school play running back. And I guess that's the point, is McKeesport. But if you are the biggest, fastest, strongest guy and you're a freshman, that bodes well for what you're going to be in the future. But we don't know how these guys develop, given just the unpredictable nature of humanity. Like, what's he going to be in 2 years? You mentioned he's 15, maybe. There's a lot of growing, developing, and changing to do. And if he does not grow the way that they expect, then, you know, you're in a situation. But with NIL and the transfer portal and I don't want to say unlimited roster size, but scholarships going away, a lot of this becomes more flexible. You can probably take some more chances. And I think we're seeing that with Penn State. They're taking a couple more chances, taking guys in the class of 2026 that early on, maybe they wouldn't have made these decisions early on, but they are now. So I think that there's a little bit of a slack in the rope on that side, but at the same time, they're not going to take guys they don't think are worthy of betting on early.
T. Frank, you brought up a very good point. I hadn't thought of that. The rule change that seems to be coming will be, they always were 85 scholarships and, what was it, 100, 105 roster?
125 typically.
125, but I think most of them don't go that far. The change is going to be to limit the roster, I think, to 105.
What? Yep. Correct.
But you could give scholarships to the entire 105.
Yeah.
And previously, anyone above 85 was a walk-on, where, yes, again, the exceptions to the rule, there's always, it seems, a walk-on or two who ends up on the field playing. But yeah, the rule, that's the exception. It's not the rule. So it'll be interesting to see what that effect of the extra scholarships will have. I hadn't thought about, yeah, you could take a few more risks when you're recruiting.
And by the way, even right now, the 85 limit doesn't matter. Just erase it from your brain. NIL allows players to make money. A scholarship, when you break it all the way down to what it is money. So if you say they've got too many players and some of the things that have happened recently or whatever, like they got to get under 85 scholarships, they do not. Nobody has to be under 85 scholarships anymore, which is why there is a new rule that you just cited of limiting it to 105 players on the roster. That's it. You don't, this game of, oh, well, we've got to get, make the numbers right. That doesn't work. That doesn't happen anymore. It will be a new number and it will be a new situation later on, which then we can have that conversation. But I don't know even then how that's all going to work out. There's going to be some way to get around that system too, I imagine.
Well, and the fact is, T. Frank, once we find out what the ramifications are of this rule change, they'll change the rules again. That's the one thing we find out.
It's really funny because there's this conversation that we have, and I'm, you know, we're in the thick of it, Jim. We're doing this every single day, and we have our regulars that are always here listening and, you know, taking in the new information. They're on the active edge of following football. And then you got your friend who just kind of like lobs a grenade on Twitter or like just shows up randomly and they're like, yeah, but what about 85 scholarships? And it's like, that was 8 months ago. And like, you're totally allowed to check out of football for 8 months. That's probably the healthy thing to do. But it is like, I have to remind myself, not everyone's in it every single day. So when somebody pops up and they're like 85 scholarships and I have to go, hey, buddy, good to see you again. It's been a while.
We'll see you in another year. Yeah, and you're right. They're the healthier ones, not us.
Yeah.
But It's fascinating to me, and we can project all we want about the unintended consequences of these rule changes. But if people knew what those unintended consequences were, first of all, they wouldn't be unintended, and they might Yep. change it. They might adapt to it. So it's just like when NIL started, there were a lot of people who very naively thought it would actually be about name, image, and likeness and not pay for play.
Yeah.
Oops. All right, T. Frank, let's get to stuff that's actually going on the field. Last weekend, it was media day. Media also got to observe practice. Let's start with the media interaction with the coaching staff, James Franklin, the coordinators, and you could go talk to other folks. Let's start there. What stood out to you, either James Franklin, the coordinators, anywhere? What usually there's one or two quotes that stick out in someone's head.
Yeah, and so I watch practice when we get the opportunity to, and then we go and talk to James Franklin. So a lot of this stuff is probably overstated in my mind. So let me just make that clear. Like, you're asking what's the thing that stands out to you, and that is usually an emotional, not a logical thing. So when James Franklin brings up unasked about Drew Aller running the football, and I forget in what context it was, but saying, I believe he said, doing some things that you might not even expect Drew to do, and just enough, that'll create some explosive plays, something along those lines.
I want to interrupt you on that one, because T. Frank, you and our hardcore listeners, they know what has been one of Jim's pet peeves now for a while.
An ineffective read option. Yeah.
Yes. Drew Aller just showing he's willing to do it. And in fact, I didn't even think James Franklin used the word running the ball. I think he said Drew Aller's going to do some things that you probably didn't expect, and he's going to do it to open up other things.
So can I dive into why this is a big thing? And I'm just a quick shameless plug here, Jim. I do a Sunday film study during the football season where we do all of breakdown every single play from the Penn State football game the previous day. I'm kind of getting those muscles back in gear. I did a Sunday film study of Kansas, West Virginia 2022. And there's some things I can't really talk about right here on the Blue White Illustrated website. And honestly, to be able to show you. But these, Jim, the point I'll make here is Drew Aller won't have the choice to give a token fake in some of these situations if they're running the schemes that they ran at Kansas. And when James Franklin said that, I went, okay, they're going full Kansas. So I went in and I re-fired up the tape. We watched Kansas 2022, specifically against West Virginia with Andy Kotelnicki. There are some things that will, I think, old school fans will love, and I think fans that like a certain style of football will like, and I do think they make me a little bit uncomfortable as far as saying this is a great idea. But James Franklin said just enough, not they're going to do it all the time. So that's something that we broke down this weekend and puts it into context of it's not the same thing necessarily they've been doing this whole time. There are elements of it, but it is taking that a step further.
Well, I gave the quote earlier of pretty much the wording that he used. He's going to do some things you might not expect, and just enough to help open up other things. Those were the words he used. But here's what I heard. Gee, Jim, you were right all along. And now I've now paid attention to you, Jim. So we're going to do exactly what you've been saying all along. Do you think that's pretty accurate?
Yes, I believe so. Because Drew Aller even talked about this where he said, carrying out ball fakes with more conviction, running through every tag off in practice, breaking tackle drills essentially is what they're doing, of being a more physical runner. So Drew Aller brought it up as well, of not giving token fakes all the time. And that does fold into this offense of everything's got to look the same. It's not just that you're a football player. You are now part actor. Congratulations. You're in the Baker Mayfield School of Acting. You've got to be able to carry out fakes. You got to be able to use ball deception. You've got to be a receiver that runs every route with conviction, because the point of it is to make every play look the same, because the actions on it, whether it's from different formations or not, or whether it's different personnel groupings, they're all built to make the defense go, I've seen this before. I know what they're about to do. Suddenly you take two steps forward and you're five steps out of position. So that's, yes, all of this is important. All of those ball fakes and Drew Aller conviction on those read options is absolutely part of this offense this year and something he's going to have to do.
There was one quote that stood out to me, T. Frank, and I don't know if I'm overreacting or not. James Franklin was asked about Julian Fleming, and he used the word solid.
Uh-huh.
It just felt like damning with faint praise.
Well, what's your expectation of Julian Fleming? That's been the conversation this all this offseason, where there is one camp of people who have not updated their expectations and their understanding of Julian Fleming from five-star that went to Ohio State. We have, unlike Nolan Rucci, I would say, we have some data to say maybe he wasn't a five-star. You should probably adjust your expectations. And James Franklin is gently adjusting those expectations with his response, without trying to be disrespectful to Julian, because he is a very valuable part of this offense, and you need guys like that. He is more Mitchell Tinsley than he is Jahan Dotson. And there has to be an understanding of that. Again, kind of like the, what about 85 scholarships? Like, we've been talking about this as offseason, especially BlueWhiteIllustrated.com. If you want to sign up, go get the premium content information. Nate Bauer and I have been talking about these things since the spring. He might not be a starter, but he can be a valuable asset in the rotation to provide stability and reliability in the offense. So adjust your expectation.
Very good, T. Frank. That is it for quarter number two. Coming up, your questions, and we ask T. Frank. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask T. Frank. We'll take your questions for T. Frank. If you want to send a question in, all you got to do is download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask T. Frank button, and away you go. All right, T. Frank, I'm going to hit you with the tough one early. You ready?
Sure.
Okay, Gary from Devon says, quarterback Jackson Smolak was complimented heavily in Coach James Franklin's press conference. I thought he was out with an injury. Your thoughts on that? But he also adds, why can't they tell us what the injury is? Do members of the media know, but just not say? And the same question on the suspended players. Do the media know what really happened and still choose not to tell us?
No comment on that second part. And that's not me saying, like, that's not me saying I know or don't know. And I'm playing into it. Like, it is, I'll just be honest, like, flat out, I don't know about these situations, and people who have an idea, there is a certain aspect of this dance you have to do in terms of understanding what is and isn't. Let's take the injury for example. If you do know, Penn State doesn't want these things out there because it dictates the timeline for return. And you might say, what does a third string quarterback have to do with anything? And you're right. But it is a policy so that you don't have a sliding scale of, okay, you'll know about one guy, but you don't know about another who is more critical. Jason Kabinda. Remember when Jason Kabinda obviously broke some part of his hand because he came back in a cast? It was probably his thumb. But if you know he fractured his thumb, you know how many weeks he's out. So you know as an opposing coordinator, they're not going to have their Mike linebacker for our game. So if you're doing advanced scouting, you can plan accordingly and attack. Whether or not that's valid, this is the gamesmanship of football. So that's the answer. And with Jackson Smolak, to give you the answer about why he was complimentary, he said in what he's able to do, which means a mental perspective. I would assume that's a mental perspective of what he's been able to recall, produce, and also elocute to the coaching staff. And this is somebody who I've been saying since he was recruited, he may not have the stars. You know, he ended up being a four-star quarterback. He may not have the size, but there are aspects of his game that are truly special when you watch the film. In terms of play under pressure, ability to throw the football deep with accuracy, touch, and timing, and some of those kind of underrated skills that aren't arm size and, you know, weight, height, frame. So when we talk about, everyone wants to know about what happens after Drew Aller, what's post Drew Aller, and everyone says Ethan Grunkmeyer because you want to have the longest runway with a quarterback. That could be true. Don't count out Jackson Smolak. This is a guy who can play at this level and can be a very good football player, especially in this offense, if Andy Kotelnicki sticks around for a long period of time. So I would say that's what I got to say about Jackson Smolak. I'm a fan, and I think it's too bad that what happened to him happened. Now, that does give Ethan Grunkmeyer more opportunity in the spring and in the summer and the fall. So they'll have, I think, a really good competition whenever it happens post-Drew Aller.
Just to piggyback on what you said, T. Frank, oftentimes in the media, you want to provide as much information as you can. But when Penn State is so guarded with the information, they're not going to confirm things that you hear or might know.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult as a media member to go out and say, oh, this is the injury. This is the reason for the suspension.
Yeah. So, Jim, let me jump. I know I danced around that very poorly. And this is the thing I need to say is that's not me. I am kind of a third party. I watch the film. I give my analysis independent of all of the context we're talking about. So I don't want to comment on things I'm completely ignorant on. I have a tertiary understanding of that particular dynamic, and I don't really have an understanding to give a good answer to Gary from Devon about those particular dynamics. So you may be correct, and there may be this conversation around what is and what isn't, and then it also might be personal preference from the people who are using that sourcing and information of whether they're careful or less careful and what the relationships are there. So there are multiple levels to this that I personally am not qualified to speak on. And this always comes up when we talk about the media and we talk about other people in the media. And I want to be very clear that it is not my job on that particular aspect. Every once in a while, I stumble over some nuggets and I share them with our Blue White Illustrated members, but that's not my function with our company. And I just want to be clear about that.
I will point out, I probably have a little more leeway than you do as far as addressing these things. And I pretty much know why they were suspended. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be the one to go out and make it public. That's not the goal of this company, you know, Keystone Sports Network, to get into those issues. So, and on the injury front, there have been go ahead.
Just a nice small flex there, you know, just a mini flex there of like, I know.
Well, I that's the awful thing. And by the way, I've been a fan a whole lot more than I've been a media member. And I've always hated that. You're right. I should not have even said that. But I want people to understand that sometimes, and trust me, being a member of the media is doesn't make me privy to that information. There's a boatload of people in State College who know, who aren't part of the media. They're either fellow students or however they found out. That kind of stuff, just like anything that goes on in any fairly small town, rumors start, information gets around, and you got to kind of separate rumor from what's really good information. But there's not a whole lot of advantage to putting it out there, okay? I will say this for people who question it, and maybe people will resent this also, but them being kicked out, suspended, whatever, was legitimate, okay? So let's move on. On the injury part to it is sometimes we can't, like you gave the Kabinda example. When the guy comes back with a cast on his hand, gee, it's a hand injury, okay? The guy comes back wearing a sling. or a brace on or a walking boot. You kind of, it kind of tells you where the injury is at least. Yeah. So that's where the limit of our information is. All right, let's move on. Let's get on to the field. Let's go to Jason in Hollidaysburg, who says, what do you consider Trey Wallace's ceiling?
A draftable NFL player. I think he can be a all Big Ten selection, because all Big Ten selections are just about how many stats you put together. And as the number one receiver in this offense, he can put together a lot of stats. This is an offense that can throw it less and get more yards, touchdowns, and explosive plays. So that, you know, I guess the he is a B plus at a lot of things and an A minus at a lot of things. And we have this conversation, and this is partly of the, there's a philosophy about football, and then there's the reality of the day-to-day. So the philosophy of football is have as many elite speed players in the game right now as possible, because they create distortion in the defense. They can attack parts of the field that are weak from other parts of the field, that you are bringing players to unexpected places. The faster you are, the more problems you create. But there is fast enough, and there is this threshold of, if you've got a composite of skills to be very good, you can be very good. And Trey Wallace crests that threshold. Elite leaper, explosive athlete, 200 pounds, good frame, can run all the routes. He got a lot of praise from Marcus Hagans during Saturday practice, running some short area drills where they were working on their lateral breaks, like hard breaks to create separation. He looked very good doing those things. So he can do everything, but what is the upper threshold of his ability? At a certain point, it doesn't matter, because scheme, player talent, all that stuff takes over, and you're talking about a theoretical difference between, well, he would have had the touchdown by 15 yards, and then he broke a tackle and had the touchdown by 5 yards. So, like, sometimes the difference doesn't matter, but it then also becomes, what players can you do that against? And somebody else who has more talent than you and is equally good at football, they may be able to stop you. Trey Wallace is not an unstoppable football player, but he will make it very hard on every defense to control him if he's healthy. And that's going to be the conversation for him until he proves that, just like JB Nelson on the offensive line. So that's what I think of Trey Wallace. I'm excited to watch him play. I think he can be a good football player, and I want to actually see it from him, because he deserves it, and I think this conversation deserves the next step in the narrative, too.
First step, stay healthy. Let's go to Billy in Newark, who says, how candid is James Franklin in his press conferences? How much can we really learn?
I think if you understand the context of what he's saying, you can learn a lot. James Franklin doesn't... There are certain things James Franklin won't talk about. There are certain things that James Franklin will talk around. And there are certain times that I think he's optimistic and he believes in a certain thing, and it is a possible future. But he touts that as, hey, this is the thing that we believe, like the receivers. Like, they're all talented, and there's enough talent in the room, they just have to do it all together, and thinking X guy can do it. There is a optimistic projection from a guy who recruited all these players, and it's his job to put the best foot forward for the university. And I think that's where some fans think he's disingenuous. And I don't think it's dishonest. I don't think it's intentionally misleading. I think it's what he wants. He's trying to manifest a truth, right? You know, we all, if you believe in the power of positive thinking, and James Franklin, 1-0, believes in the power of mental positioning, that's what you're going to do. And he does have frank conversations. He is honest. There is a certain level of candor, especially when talking. We just had the conversation about Julian Fleming. He's not blowing sunshine about Julian Fleming being the savior of this receiving room. He's giving you an honest assessment of what he's seen. So you just have to understand the context and understand, in all of these situations, they're not just going to say it. Sometimes people just like, just say it, just say the thing. And like, if you just say the thing, then you get aggregated and it's a problem for the university. James Franklin's job is to minimize problems and maximize positivity. So he's not going to just say it. He's not going to just say the thing, because of the ecosystem we live in, and it's not the best thing for him and the university. But he's going to say all the things for you to reach that conclusion.
I'll tell you what, T. Frank, over the years also, you can pick up the context from James Franklin and understand also when an article is written the day after, you get the headline of what he said, but you don't get what the question was. Okay. Yeah. And we're up against the break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to explain real quickly what I mean by that. And then we're going to get back into your practice observations, T. Frank. We'll do that right after this break.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number four. He's T. Frank. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. T. Frank, this has kind of become a tradition now. We don't have enough time to ask T. Frank, so we got to come back. The question was about James Franklin. How much could you really learn? How candid is he? I think the first thing is he's a lot more candid in these press conferences than I think a lot of other coaches are.
Yeah.
And those of us who've been observing Penn State football for so many years, he's much more candid than Joe Paterno was, okay? With Joe, you ask him about the starting quarterback, he'll tell you how good the backup quarterback is, okay? That was just his nature. But with James Franklin, there's a big difference between a reporter asking about a player who might be a walk-on from his hometown, right, and James Franklin's going to say, hey, he's a great kid, working really hard, doing tremendous. And that's the headline in the local newspaper the next day.
Yeah.
What I always keep an eye out for is when James Franklin brings up a name that wasn't part of the question.
Yep.
It's, well, what about Drew Aller? Let me tell you about Jackson Smolak, okay? That to me was very informative and very telling. James Franklin doesn't do that like Joe Paterno. He's not blowing smoke, I think, when he does that. So that's what I always look out for. But you don't know that context unless you also heard the question.
Yeah, so there's two things here that I think are interesting. The first is, yes, he does that. And part of that, again, these are all honest conversations. The intention can also be, he does do the thing of he's going to mention everybody at every position. He'll answer your question, and then he'll go through the whole roster and get as many of the names in as possible because he's got to make sure everyone feels included, because then if they don't, they're going to transfer. So there is a certain preservation tactic, and you know, he is honestly, I 100% believe he's impressed by Jackson Smolak. He's also going to say that because we don't talk enough about Jackson Smolak. We don't ask enough questions about all, you know, those players. So when the opportunity arises to put that in there and give Jackson a feeling of inclusion and being seen for his hard work and toiling in the dark, he's going to do that because James Franklin's a smart person. He understands how people think and feel, and everyone likes to be included, and everyone likes to be acknowledged for their hard work. The second thing is, also read the conversation where somebody asks a question, and maybe it's a weaker question that there's not really an answer, and in order to satisfy the time he needs to speak, he will sometimes just answer that question and then say whatever he wants. This is the politician thing, right? So you kind of answer the question, but really then you just turn it into a talking point of what you wanted to bring up. And in those situations, that's when you need to pay attention to what he's saying, because that's his message. That is what he's trying to say to his team, or what he's trying to project out into the football universe about Penn State football. And again, this is where Nate Bauer's the best. Nate Bauer, my coworker at Blue White Illustrated, he's my James Franklin whisperer. So he's going to tell you what James is actually saying when he says these things so that you don't have to do the translation, which I think is where everyone gets frustrated. So I think that there's always these dynamics in the press conference. And that's why I like to be a chaos agent. I'm not going in with a question that I need for an article. I'm just going to ask the thing I want to know. And if he answers it, he answers it. And then we'll find out what happens from there. But I'm not going in with an obvious, hey, can you say X? because I need to have it for an article. Like, I'm just like, hey, I want to learn something about football. And then I ask him something, and if it's too close to the line, he'll say nothing. And if it's something he wants to talk about in a philosophical conversation, those are some of my favorite, you know, just from my perspective when I'm asking things, because they're not really about anything. They're about what's football, and to me, the most important things in there. And just like James Franklin, I shoehorn my own thought into that thought.
What's interesting, you and I have had this conversation. Sometimes I prefer reading the transcript to listening to the whole press conference. So you might lose context sometimes. Like, I wonder sometimes if, is he saying this with a smile, or was he really being thin-skinned and sensitive? Okay. And sometimes I have to go back and listen to it and find out. But where I was headed with this is I can read the transcript sometimes and tell when it's a T. Frank question.
Cause it's about a paragraph and a half long.
Well, but it's actually a football question. You know, it's like something that I think, okay, I'm going to learn something. You know, it's like, oh, I want to know the answer to that question. By the way, I know I'm getting off topic here, but I had a question that I haven't had answered anywhere else, and I'm wondering if you know this. The new rules with the communication, The quarterback's going to have the green sticker, the middle linebacker is. That's who you're going to communicate with.
Yeah.
What if Kobe King comes off the field and there's somebody else who's already in the game, not the backup? They go to two linebackers where Kobe King is out, but the two linebackers are, Tony Rojas and Dom DeLuca, who were already on the field. What then?
So that was going to be my question during media day. And here's the other reality, you know, the nuts and bolts of everything is, so I'm tasked with getting James Franklin's press conference for the Blue White Illustrated YouTube page. So that means I'm set up in the very back with the camera people. And so it's kind of like I'm sitting in the smoky corner of the tavern and you can't see my face, and so I don't always get the microphone. And I'm doing about six things at once, so it's hard for me to ask questions every time, especially on a Tuesday. That is what I'm going to ask next time we have the opportunity this week, so that practice is Thursday this week, so that's coming up tomorrow. I'm going to be asking that because, yeah, that determines in the NFL, the Mike linebacker never comes off the field, partly because of that continuity and partly because of the radio. So what is going to happen in college football? Is Kobe King now a third down player? Is that locked in, or are they going to have like a floater helmet where they have Tony Rojas or they have somebody else who has the green dot in an alternate helmet? Because you might have to run off the field and grab a new helmet. That seems less likely. They may just go with hand signals on third down, but I want to know that myself. James Frank, but this is the thing, is like that then gets into scheme, and that's saying like that's giving a tactical, obvious conversation point to your defense to know, okay, Kobe King is on third down all the time. Now we know where to target the field on third down and long when it's a guy that they have previously taken off the field on third down. So it is, I don't know that I'll get an answer, but we'll see what they say, because I think it's super important and it's fascinating. And like, as much as it is an obscure thing that people are like, maybe roll their eyes on, it absolutely 100% dictates what you do on third down from a personnel and from a scheme perspective.
Well, and the other part of this, T. Frank, I've always thought of it in terms of defense, but it's now a factor on offense too. You always think, well, it's Drew Aller, and if Drew Aller's off the field, Bo Prabhul comes in the game with the green dot.
Yeah.
Well, if you're telling me both of them are going to be on the field at the same time, now that might be a little easier having Bo on the sideline with two helmets.
Yes.
And he'll determine which one to pick up based on whether Drew Aller's still in the game or not.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that's a very good point. And that's something that they'll have to, these are all things they have to work out. This, as much as it's like, this doesn't determine who blocks and who tackles, it determines a lot of stuff for the coaching staff and for the plan they have going into certain games.
Okay. Those are just a couple things that are in my head I always wonder about. By the way, the other one, and I'm not going to ask you the question on it, I want to know what the tiebreaker is going to be like in the conferences to determine who's first and second.
Oh, thank God.
I don't even think they've decided yet, T. Frank, because I haven't seen the answer anywhere. But why don't we get back to what we were supposed to talk about, is some practice observations. You were there for practice. Give me some thoughts.
So we've been there for two practices. Wednesday was the first open practice, and then Saturday after media day, they had a second one, which I always appreciate that because it gives us kind of that kickstart into, seeing some trends, seeing some things so we don't have to wait as long to see practice and get our photos and observations. And the thing I've noticed more than anything is that the quarterbacks haven't thrown the football while we're there. They have been working on the run game with the running backs, some of those handoffs and ball technique issues, and then they've been working on stuff by themselves. We saw them throw passes to the receivers. None of it was downfield. So this is something that goes back to what we saw during the spring, where they never threw the ball past 5 yards. Maybe there were a couple of times they were working on some deep outs where it was Tyler Warren going 10, 15. That's it. Then we go to the blue-white game, and it's bombs away. And the particular part of this offense is it's aggressive down-the-field passing. So, you know, I don't know if they're hiding these things from us or it's just the way that Andy Kolonicki stacks practice. That's, to me, kind of an interesting dynamic where they're working on themselves right now. They're not working on a game plan for West Virginia or for anybody else. So they can decide to go at whatever pace they want. Once we get into football season, they may have to do some things in front of us during practice because you have a limited number of hours. So which one is that right now? I find that super interesting. And part of this is the context of understanding and why I went back to watch Andy Kotelnicki's offense from 2022 and everything built the foundation of this offense and the passing game is built on the running game and play actions and RPOs and read options. So if you're going to build a practice that crescendos into a certain thing, you might start there, but it does give you a certain feeling when you go and watch these practices, which is always like, we're looking at this. I'm looking at this through a camera, through a keyhole. So you're getting such a limited window of what these things are. So some of these observations I've said, like, this is my observation. I don't know if it carries any weight or any influence whatsoever because there's so much more information we don't know. But that has been a trend I've seen and kind of trying to put it into context through the first month that also carries back to spring ball.
And you also have to remember, you're watching the first couple practices. So the thought that, okay, we're just going to build upon this is very relevant thought, again, yeah, because it's so early in the camp.
Yeah, but And Mike Yurcich worked on the quarterbacks throwing the football down the field, layering drills, more aggressive, I don't want to say advanced, but more aggressive passing drills during the early portion of practice. So a lot of this does go back to what do you focus on? What do you emphasize? Marcus Hagans is going to focus on different activities, different skills he wants his receivers to learn as opposed to other receiver coaches. And Andy Kolonicki bringing certain drills he wants his offensive line to do as opposed to what Mike Yurcich had them doing. So there are things that matter here, but where are they in the grand scheme of things? And I think it's just one of the, we don't know yet, but it is an observation, kind of like recruiting, going back to 25. And is this a trend or is this not a trend? We won't know until we know, and we won't know until the end, essentially. So that's just one of those things you can point out the reasons. And then you have to just understand we don't know definitively anything about this.
My takeaway from this show, T. Frank, your quote, we won't know till we know. On that note, that is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.